So praise the Lord. Now we're going to go straight into the Word of God. The time is gone. The youth are going to stay in. I want to share the final part of our teaching, what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. This is the third part of the teaching, the power of your words. The reason why I've asked for the youth to stay in is because in this third part, I'm going to provide the tools, what actually needs to happen in order for us to be able to overcome this incredible issue that many of us face, you know, which is the consequence of the wrong use of our words. Because when we use our words in the wrong way, there is a consequence. You know, there is a repercussion. And the reason why there is a repercussion is because, as I shared in week one, our words carry a lot of authority. By default, but simply down to the fact that you are a child of God, and God comes and he's now living on the inside of you, whether you are 7 years old or whether you are 70 years old, you know, we have to be taught how to speak and how not to speak, how to say things and how not to say things, how to make confessions and how not to make certain confessions. We have to be taught by the person of the Holy Spirit because of the authority and the power that is carried by the vehicle of our words. And last week we looked at how our words can do either one of two things: either grieve the Holy Spirit or bless or please the Holy Spirit. And, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit is not good at all, as we all know. But I really spend some time reminding us about the eventual results of living in an environment or in an atmosphere of a grieved spirit, being in a marriage where the Holy Spirit is grieved, being in a family setting where the Holy Spirit is grieved, being part of a church assembly where the Holy Spirit is grieved, being in a small group or a life group where the Holy Spirit is grieved. And we went through it all, and the end result really is that people don't get saved. In any community where the Holy Spirit is grieved, the Holy Spirit will not do what he has been released to do. And the ultimate result of that is that people will not be saved, and people will go to a lost eternity because, for whatever reason, we are unable to bridle our tongues because we cannot or refuse to get over the issues of our hearts. So the Lord says that we don't have any excuse because he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We don't have any right to be offended anymore. We don't have any right to carry bitterness anymore. We don't have any right to carry unforgiveness anymore. And all these things that reside in our hearts determine or shape our words. While they're in our hearts, they are concealed. They are kept in the strongholds of our hearts. I'm going to touch on this a bit more this morning. And while they're in our hearts, there is still an opportunity for the Lord to address them. But the minute they overflow from our hearts and our mouths speak them, it's too late. Then God has to do, he has to do damage limitation. You know, God then has to, you know, he's like, oh, you know, and he has to step up and he has to rectify our mistakes, our error. And that's why I said, when it comes to the use of our words, we need to determine whether we are in the construction business or we are in the demolition business. We can either build up or we can pull down. But when we are living in an environment, when we are living in a community, when we are living in a marriage, in a family, in a church setting, in a community setting like this one we have here, where the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell, wonderful things will always take place. And ultimately, people will always get saved. And God's will be done. His will definitely be done, because we have allowed the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. All of this comes to whether or not we are able to somehow harness the because our words have power, period. What we need to do is harness the power of our words. What we need to do is to learn how to use these words correctly. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. The three things that the Lord has now enabled us to do in order for us to be able to truly lay hold of and correctly use the words that he has placed in our hearts. And the first thing that he's enabled us to do is this. He's given us the ability to guard our minds. Secondly, he has given us the ability to guard our hearts. And finally, of course, he's given us the ability to guard our mouths. So we look at the first one, guarding our minds. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I preached the message a few weeks ago. It should still be online or maybe in our archives. And I entitled the message that your peace is your password. Because this access that the enemy has to our lives is no access at all, provided we don't give him the opportunity that he is looking for. God gives us peace to guard our minds and to protect our minds. And so long as we hold on to our peace, then we can truly have soundness in our minds. Our mind is the control center of all physical and spiritual activity. It is the seat of our intellect and our understanding. So if our minds are corrupt, then our whole body will be corrupt. Therefore, we need to set a guard on our minds. We guard our minds in two ways. First of all, we guard our minds by regulating what goes in and through our ears and our eyes, what we listen to, places we visit, the company we keep, the kind of conversations that we entertain. Again, this is, you know, Satan is no respecter of age. So no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, if you entertain the wrong kind of conversations, if you keep on listening to the wrong things, if you keep on setting your eyes on the wrong, not setting your eyes not just about what you're doing physically, but it's about your spiritual vision. In fact, it is ultimately about vision. Because vision is the thing that constructs direction. What you look upon is where you're going. So if you're setting your eyes on the things that God does not want you to set your eyes on, then that's the direction you're going to head. But if by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can set your eyes on things above and not beneath, you can set your eyes on the things that are above where Christ Jesus is, and he says, you know, you need to look up higher so that you can come up higher. Before we can come up higher, we need to look up higher. If we can't look up, then we can't go up. If we keep on looking down, then we will remain down. So as we allow the Lord to help us address the issue of our wandering eyes, listening to the, looking at the, watching all of these programs that are so destructive, they are so destructive in so many ways. They contradict the word of God, and they contradict not just your spirituality, but they contradict your humanity. The mere fact that you are created in the image of God, these things that we entertain ourselves with, even adverts, commercials, as the Yanks will call it, adverts, they come on and they suck us into their world. And we, even without even realizing, our minds are constantly being shaped They are constantly being shaped. They are constantly being shaped. Modern day technology and all of these superpowers that are behind advertisement and all these things that work, for those who are trying to get as much out of us as possible. They are designed, specifically designed, to get us into a place of being controlled. We need to be so careful what we're watching, what we're just, the kind of films that we watch, the kind of music that we listen to, the things that we expose ourselves to on social media. This isn't talking about the dreaded pornography, even. I'm not even going there yet. I'm just talking about things that are below that level. But it does reach to that. As soon as we allow ourselves to be sucked into this world, while it remains in the heart, while it remains in the mind, I beg your pardon, there is still hope by the grace by the grace of God we can address these issues. But we have got to set a guard on our minds in the first place. The words that we expose ourselves to will either serve to develop a positive attitude, which is a Christ-centered, faith-filled, and biblically grounded viewpoint, or a negative one, which is Christless and faithless and unbiblical in every way. So we need to avoid conversations that will produce the latter and embrace conversations that will produce the former. The second thing that we need to do to renew, to set a guard on our minds is by the ongoing renewing of our minds. This is something that I believe, especially for those of us who are mature Christians, this is something that we are very, very bad at. And I put myself first in line. If we are truly honest with ourselves and with the Lord, the renewing of our minds, which is not just a daily thing, the renewing of our mind, which has to be a constant thing, is one of the things that we do the least concerning our walk with Christ. And the reason why I say that with absolute confidence is because there are forces in operation right now which they know full well, talking about what happens in the spirit realm, there is absolute clarity on the side of the enemy that knows absolutely full well when a Christian man or a Christian woman, no matter how young, no matter how old, is living daily with a renewed mind, truly all things are made possible. All things are made possible. And this is why when the Lord says, when you pray, in other words, when you say a thing, when you declare a thing, believe that you receive it. When you make a declaration, don't doubt, only believe. When you bind, believe that it will be bound. When you loose, believe that it will be loosed. When you call it forth, believe that it shall come forth. When you forbid it or you stop it from happening, believe that. Why? Because of the authority that comes with the things that you say. So the moment we start to renew our minds, and we do it daily, we even do it from moment to moment, we know that we are constantly bringing ourselves back into alignment with what God has already ordained for us. And when that happens, there is a seamless transaction that takes place between heaven and earth, one that is released from heaven to change the other. Earth is changed and transformed because of the things that you say and the things that you declare as a child of the living God. And this is not, I'm not talking about, something that is beyond any of us. God wants to use you in everyday life. He wants to use you as an agent of change and transformation in everyday life and at every area and level of your life. We kind of relegate ourselves to some kind of Vauxhall Conference division of God's Premier League. You know, he says you are above my Premier League. You are princes and you are princes. You are kings and priests unto the Lord God Himself. And what we do in the spirit of our minds is to bring ourselves so low that we keep on looking down. We can't go up if we don't look up. We keep on looking down, and we stay entrenched in this mindset and this mentality, and we don't move. We don't make any progress. We don't succeed in life because we are listening to the wrong words, and we are allowing ourselves to entertain them as well. But we need to renew our minds if we are to be a free people. We cannot be free to be everything that God has called us to be if our minds are not constantly being renewed. How do we renew our minds? Very, very quickly, ask the Holy Spirit for help. We cannot renew our minds without the person of the Holy Spirit helping us to do so. We cannot renew our minds without the Holy Spirit helping us to do so. The scriptures tell us that Elijah was just flesh and blood, like you and me, and yet at his word, the rain stopped for 3.5 years, and then again at his word, the rains came. 1 Kings 17:1, James 4:17 to 18. God has already declared his will regarding your health, regarding your family, regarding your job situation, regarding your business, regarding your finances, and regarding your peace of mind. God has already declared his will. Where is his will found? It's found in his word. He's already said it, that it is his will that you and I prosper in all things and be in good health, even as our souls prosper. And that's the caveat. Because our souls need to prosper first and foremost before anything else can prosper. We heard this morning while we were getting ready for church, a preacher's on the Christian TV, and he made the statement that one might pray or one might say, Lord, give me everything so that I may have life. But in actual fact, what the Lord wants us to praise or what the Lord wants us to declare is, Lord, you have given me life that I may have everything. Your soul has to prosper. Your soul, which is your mind, your intellect, your emotions, your will. But we're talking about the mind and renewing your mind. If your mind is not being renewed, your mind is not prospering. You got to understand this. You know, it's like if we keep on accumulating all of this baggage and all of this dead stuff that really the Holy Spirit needs to get rid of, but for whatever reason, we'll keep on holding on to it year after year, decade after decade, and here comes the anxieties piled up, the fear is piled up, the brokenness keeps on getting piled up, the rejection just gets worse and worse and worse, and we want to be brave. We want to put on a brave face, and we just want to keep on keeping on, and that is absolutely admirable and wonderful, and at this present moment in time, probably all that we know to do, but the Lord says that there is a better way, because that is not the level that he has called us to live in. That is not the level that he has called us to function in. He wants us to prosper even down to the level of our soul man, to that person on the inside where the mind is constantly being renewed and every single stronghold is broken. Every single, that's why I said last week that the reason why there is a stronghold is because the stronghold is the only thing strong enough to conceal the strong man. The strong man is concealed by the stronghold. And that is why someone who is stronger than him has to come and first of all deal with the stronghold before the strong man can be bound. This is why we get it wrong sometimes, because we want to bind a strong man, but we haven't dealt with the issues of our mind. We haven't dealt with the issues of our heart. We haven't dealt with all these things that we we have allowed to accumulate and have become callous, and all the scar tissue that has been formed. We haven't allowed the Lord to deal with those things, but yet we want to go and have a go at the enemy. No. We don't need it. We don't even need to bother with him anymore because Jesus has paid it all. Jesus doesn't want our concern to be what the enemy is doing or not doing. He wants our concern to be the health and the strength and the wholeness of our souls. That's what he wants. And that's what his priority is anyway. That's what his priority is. But we need to align our thinking, our mind, with the Word of God. And by doing so, we will align our words with his words. And when this happens, God's words in your mouth will be just as powerful as God's words in his mouth. Then, just like Elijah, you will declare in the name of Jesus, and it shall be done. The great theologian Matthew Henry said this: no man can tame the tongue without divine grace and assistance. So ultimately, the controlling of our tongue and of the words that come out of our mouth, as I've said, is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we must ask for his help, and his help is essential as we seek to put a guard on our minds, on our heart, and ultimately on our mouth. The next thing that we need to do to renew our minds is we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Because when we meditate on the Word of God, our talk will be spiritual. And when our talk is spiritual, then our walk will be spiritual. All right? We can't expect to have a spiritual walk if we don't have a spiritual talk. So Philippians 4, verse 8 in the Amplified says, "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is unseemly and whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things." And it says finally, "Fix your mind on them." Whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is kind, whatever is virtuous, whatever is excellent, fix your mind on them. Think on them. Focus on those things. It is a discipline. It might not happen overnight, and it's not always the easiest of things to do in this world that we're living in, where we are constantly being bombarded with, we all know this to be true, but we put the news on the other day, and my goodness me, 30 minutes of just hell on earth. It's like every single thing that you could think, we're talking about murders and rapes, and it just constant negativity. Why? Because even the unsaved and those who are not even the children of the kingdom realize that we are hardwired to respond more to negativity than we are to positivity. Our very nature, the human nature, which has now been crucified in Christ, responds to negative stimulus like lightning speed. Whereas if we hear something that is honoring, something that blesses, something that is excellent, something that is virtuous, we go, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And we might feel good and have that gooey feeling just for a moment, but I want to tell you, it will come and go, and it will come and go very, very quickly. Why? Because it doesn't come with anything attached to it. No attachments. It comes with no motives, only just to bless. Those thoughts come just to bless and to edify and to build up and to strengthen. But those negative words and that negative stimulus, it comes with hooks attached to it. It comes with barbs. And as soon as that thing is latched onto you, it is not going to let go. No matter how you try to shake it off, it won't let go. Because we are hardwired to do it, our minds are hardwired to do exactly that. That's why it needs to be renewed. That's why it needs to be renewed. Because in the renewing of this mind, the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes with that mighty rushing river, and that river begins to rip out and just separate from us all of those things that have attached themselves to us, all of those thoughts, all of those ideas, all of that yuckiness. He just comes and he washes it away as we fix our minds on the things that he is fixing his minds on. What else do we need to do to renew our minds? Of course, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. Because as we pray and spend time in his presence, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But you know, he said that to an unregenerated people. He said that to a people who were not saved. He said that to a people who were not born again. He said that to a people who didn't have a better covenant. But to you, child of God, he says you have the mind of Christ. Amen. He didn't say you're going to have the mind of Christ. He says you have got the mind of Christ. We find that in 1 Corinthians 2. You have the mind of Christ, which means that you can fix your mind on the things that he is fixing his mind on, which means that his thoughts can be your thoughts, and then his ways can be your ways. Until his thoughts are our thoughts, his ways cannot be our ways. But in that place of prayer, we are able to thoroughly discern his thoughts, as opposed to our thoughts or the thoughts of someone else. And the minute we lay hold of his truth, the minute we lay hold of his thinking, the minute we lay hold of his thoughts, you know, David, the psalmist declares about God's thoughts towards you. They cannot be numbered. They cannot be numbered. It's impossible for those thoughts to be numbered just towards you. And God says, I want to bring you in on this. I want to bring you to my level, and I want you to be a partaker of these thoughts, because the minute you lay hold of my thoughts, your mind will be transformed and renewed. And the minute your mind is transformed and renewed, you will start to speak and declare the things that I am speaking and declaring. And that's when things really start to happen. How else do we renew our minds? Renew our minds also by challenging the way we think. You got to challenge the way you think. You don't just accept things for what you think they are. Don't create any landing strips or nests in your head. If you create a landing strip, Satan will land his plane. If you create a nest, you're not going to get an eagle. You'll get a vulture. The psalmist said, Psalm 42, 11 says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. It is a very good and healthy exercise to question why we think and feel the way we do, as opposed to just accepting every thought and feeling as being normal. You got to question it. Hang on a minute. Where is this sadness coming from? But all of a sudden, you know, you're 15 or 16 or 17, and they say, well, it's down to you being a teenager. I mean, come on. You know, I know that hormonal things happen when you're that age, but we were all that age once, some longer than others, praise the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, we don't just accept the fact that even though I'm feeling this way, it is acceptable. You know, we have to question. We got to say, Lord, you know, even speak to ourselves. Hang on a minute. Why are you angry? Why are you feeling depressed? Why are you feeling down? What is going on? Even if at least you do so for the purpose of fishing for an answer or some kind of clarity, you investigate. You don't just allow yourself to be consumed by something that you have no knowledge about or you think you have no knowledge about. You have the Spirit of the living God, the one who is altogether omniscient. He knows everything. He understands everything, and he wants to reveal everything that he knows to us so that we can know it too. We can understand it too. So, you know, the doctors will say, well, you know, we're going to give you some pills and that will help. We're going to do this and that will help. And you know, hang on a minute. You're not anyone's slave. You're not going to be bound by anyone or anything. And this is not about rebuking or chastising anyone who is an antidepressant, because at the end of the day, we all have to go and deal with things the way we can at that moment in time. But I want to tell you this, no medication can do what the Holy Spirit only can do.
Amen.
No medication can. This is not knocking what doctors are able to do and what doctors are able to provide. But again, I'm just simply saying to you that there is a better way. And that better way was purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. If we can just simply believe what Christ has done for us, we can lay hold of it and apply it to our lives, regardless of what our situation is. No matter what our situation is. Because he wants us whole, that we might be wholly effective. I'm going to finish up now because I want to pray. Yeah, I want to pray. Maybe carry on next week, because we need to look at the guarding of our hearts and our mouth ultimately. Final thing that the Lord will have us do if we're to renew our minds. So just going from the top, this is guarding the mind. To guard the mind, we need to renew the mind. So if we're to renew our minds, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. If we're to renew our minds, we need to read and meditate. Not just read, but meditate on the Word of God. To renew our minds, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. To renew our minds, we need to challenge the way we think. And finally, to renew our minds, we need to take every thought captive. Every thought. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We must be mindful of this fact. This is a very, very important truth that I want you to take note of. We must be mindful of this fact that we are at constant war with thoughts that are carnal, unhealthy, ungodly, unedifying. So either they become our captives, or we become theirs. So there is a constant war going on. Young person, there is a constant war going on in your heart, in your mind, I beg your pardon, that is completely designed to wear you out and break you down. Thoughts that are carnal, thoughts that are unhealthy, thoughts that are ungodly, unedifying. And what the Bible is saying to us, what Paul is saying to us through his teaching, is that we are to take every one of these thoughts captive and bring them into conformity to Christ, or into obedience to who Christ Jesus is. In other words, in line with what Christ Jesus has said. Because the fact is, if we don't take, when you are in warfare, and you have, you're on one side and you're fighting against the other side, you have your army and they have their army, the objective is either to kill or to destroy or to enslave, to capture. And, you know, before the Geneva Convention, that's exactly what happened. It would have been brutal. Prisoner of war didn't exist. They will either kill you or enslave you. And this was written before the Geneva Convention. Now we have Geneva Convention that says you need to, in war, there are particular practices that you have to undergo, and you can't just, you know, enslave people or kill them or mistreat them or do any of those things. But the fact is, you're still a prisoner of war. You are still a casualty of war. But back in the day, it was even worse. You were enslaved. You were automatically taken as a, you were spoil. You are not just a prisoner of war, but you are the spoil of war. If you were held captive, if you were somehow overpowered by your adversary. So what Paul is saying is that you don't, the weapons of your warfare are not normal weapons. So we need to stop trying to fight a spiritual fight with physical means, because we will not succeed. And the only way that we can fight this spiritual fight with spiritual means is by having a mind that is being renewed. And the only way that a mind can be truly renewed is by learning to take every single thought. Where did that come from? Every single thought captive. No landing strip. The plane of the enemy is coming, and you know, no, some precious brothers and sisters stand there and they're almost wired in such a way that, you know, not only do they have a landing strip, they've got landing lights, and they're like, beep, 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 come on. Yep, come on, you negativity. Oh, come on, I'm gonna lap it all up. Yep, that's right, you know. God says, no, we can't do that. These weapons are weapons of warfare. If that thing, if we see it coming, we send a heat-seeking missile, we shoot it down, even before it comes. Your mind should be a no-fly zone. There should not be any nests there. There should not be any landing strip. It must be a no-fly zone. That's why some of you young people, you go on Instagram and you see this and you read that, boom, it's in. It's right in there. You go on Facebook, you see it, it's in there. YouTube, it's in there. And it's piling up. And then you begin to look at yourselves through the lenses of someone else's image of who you are, when in actual fact, you need to get all these thoughts and you need to bring them into obedience to who Christ is. Because when you bring something into obedience to who Christ is, it becomes formed in Christ's image. But you've got to lay hold of the truth. You have to lay hold of these weapons. You've got to lay hold of this understanding for yourself. Otherwise, you know something. I want to be very, very, very clear. If you do not learn to take the thoughts that you have captive, you will always be a captive. This is not me prophesying horrible things. No, it's just biblical truth. Because we are at war. And God wants you to be wholly effective for the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, when we make use of these incredible weapons of our warfare, which include praise, worship, prayer, fasting, and of course the full armor of God, every argument and high thing or high place that seeks to rise up against the knowledge of Christ will be cast down, demolished or destroyed, and every thought will be brought into captivity. Therefore, a renewed mind will be a healthy mind. And what does a healthy mind look like? A healthy mind is a mind that is well fed. A healthy mind, and I close with this. Let's have the band back because I'm actually going to close with this. A healthy mind is a mind that is well exercised. So is your mind well fed? It's a healthy mind. Are you feeding your mind on not junk food, but on the Word of God? I'm not talking about someone's books. Read books. Amen. I encourage you. Read as many Spirit-inspired writings and books that are theologically accurate. Well, if it's Spirit-inspired, it'd be theologically accurate. But read it. But nothing can substitute the Word of God. Nothing can. Nothing ever will be a substitute to the Word of God. Is your mind well fed? That's why you need to be in a place that if this is your local church, by God's grace, you will always be well fed in Jesus' name. If it's not your local church, then you need to be in a church where you are well fed. Your mind needs to be well fed. You need to have the equipment and the equipping to deal with the assault of these thoughts that are bombarding your thinking every single moment of the day, every single moment. You need to start to convince yourself that A, you are not a victim, you are a victor, yes. You are not the one who is being conquered, you are more than a conqueror, and that's why it might be a war, but it's not a fight. It's a beating. When this enemy comes and he squares up to you and he starts to lie to you and he starts to try to deceive you, I'm telling you something. You have the authority of Christ. Amen. To just simply say one word, just one word. That's what my Jesus did. That's what your Jesus did. He said to that demoniac, go. One word. And that thing went running. It hit the road faster than Usain Bolt. Amen. This is not a competition. The kingdom of darkness is not in competition with the kingdom of God. You are not a victim. You are not being conquered. You are a victor and you are more than a conqueror. These things that will assail you and assault you are not in competition. Satan knows how mighty and how strong you are more than you do. He understands your authority more than you ever will understand your authority. And if we can just lay hold of this, the next time we speak, there will be a check in our spirit. The next time we confess something over our lives, there'll be a check in our innermost being. Are you well fed? So a mind that is renewed will be a healthy mind. A healthy mind will be a mind that is well fed. A healthy mind will be a mind that is exercised, not lazy, engaging your thinking. Oh man, I tell you what, the assault on the minds of our children, our teenagers, even our young adults is shocking. Absolutely shocking. But the Lord, by His grace, is causing an awakening to take place. And where there has been a laziness in our minds, in the operation of our minds, God is giving us the tools that will enable us to put our minds to good use. A healthy mind will be a mind that is clean and sanitized, pure. Because to the pure, all things are pure. A mind that is healthy will be a mind that is fully clothed with the mind of Christ. I've touched on that. And finally, a mind that is healthy will be a mind that is guarded. If your mind is guarded, it's healthy. And if your mind is healthy, it is guarded. And if your mind is guarded, then that's the first step. That is the first step. There's three things. There's the heart and there is the mouth, ultimately. But if the mind is addressed, That's where it all, that is the control center. That is where everything begins. That is where everything is processed. That is where the greatest battle takes place. And when that battle is won, so long as that battle is constantly being won, and you know, this is why prayer is so important. Because in that place of prayer, all masks come off. We cannot address these thoughts that eat us away like a spiritual or emotional cancer if we don't allow the great physician to cut us deep sometimes. He needs to cut deep to get rid of some stuff. And only he can do it. Because on the outside, everything's okay. But on the inside, it isn't. But you know something? It doesn't take long to rectify these things. God will do it like that. If you just give him an opportunity, he will do it like that. The deception of the enemy is, oh, this is going to be such a long-winded thing. I'm going to go for a 10-week course called Freedom in Christ. And then I have to go do this and do that. And no. God can do it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Because there is no competition. No matter how impossible these things that you're facing may look, it is no competition. It is no competition. Jesus said, you speak to that mountain. What is that mountain? Think about the tonnage. Think about how in the natural, how impossible it is for anything of that magnitude to be moved. And Jesus said, you just speak that word. You just say it. And that's why you don't go and bargain with your mountain and say to your mountain, well, you know something, if I do this, you got to do that. Come on, if you do this, come on, we had an agreement, didn't we? You know, you don't parlay with your mountain. You don't give in to your mountain. You don't try to get someone else to speak to your mountain. He says, and he didn't say think to your mountain. He says you need to speak to your mountain. But before you can speak and declare a thing, something has to happen in your mind. You need to know in your mind that this mountain is not bigger than you. No matter how impossible it might seem. Let's bow our heads.